Welcome to the Business Spotlight Series. My name is Kay Cote, and I am your podcast host here at Action Coach in Central Texas. Today, I have on Emily Rollins. She is the owner of Town Square, Northwest Austin. And today, we're going to be talking with Emily about her business journey, ownership, challenges, best practices that she's learned, and just share a sneak peek of what it's like to build and operate a business. So, if this is your first time listening to us on this channel, be sure to like and subscribe to get notifications when we drop new conversations just like this one. So, Emily, welcome to the show and thank you for being here today. Please give us a little review of your background and a little bit about your business.
Yeah, so I actually spent about 30 years in public accounting, so helping to serve companies from more from the compliance and audit side around their financial statements, but everything from small entrepreneurial shops all the way to large public companies. The impetus for Town Square actually came from a desire in my family to help out our father. So I was going about being a professional and traveling and for clients, and my dad actually had a stroke, and we had him move from the state he was living in to where we currently live in Austin, Texas. And when we first saw his condition after having his stroke, it was actually quite difficult for us to think that we could take care of him by ourselves. We grew up in a multi-generational household where our grandparents helped take care of us, and my mom has helped take care of her grandkids. And it was always the understanding that we would be taking care of our parents when we got to that stage. But we ended up not being able to do so just because of our busy schedules and the level of care he needed. And we really hoped that there was an alternative to full-time in-home care where he would somewhat be isolated since we were always busy with our own schedules, and assisted living. So we ended up with assisted living, but hoping that, at some point we could care for him. So that's how the impetus of investing in Town Square. Town Square is a national franchise. We were about the second franchisee that signed up with them, and we have the location here in Austin, Texas. We're the only one in Texas, and we're the biggest in the country right now. And my sisters helped me run it. Unfortunately, my dad passed before he could see everything come to fruition. There was a little bit of a hiccup with COVID and having to delay our construction as well as our opening. But we know that, we're doing the best for our senior population. So I could tell you a little bit about our business. We're an adult day center here in Northwest Austin, and we help care for individuals that need additional care, socialization, something to do in terms of their daily routine from 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. So basically helping to care for our senior population that have, special needs.
That is very powerful. And it's just like, it's actually very just like moving to hear that your story, with your dad and seeing how that experience has helped kind of in a way like ignite that and you're giving back to the seniors. That is like, that's a very touching story. Thank you for sharing that for sure.
Yeah, it's actually it. I actually was in an article recently, and I, was sincere in saying that I never really planned on this as any part of my career, but at the same time, it's the most fulfilling work I've ever done.
That's powerful. Looking at you and your business role overall, how many hours would you say you spent working in your business, the job of it, and how many hours do you work on your business, like the strategy, the planning, the things like that?
Yeah, so I primarily am around the strategy and planning. So that's the majority of the time that I spend on Town Square, which is probably about, 10 to 20 hours a week on that aspect of it. And then the rest is just helping to, keep up with our bookkeeper and compliance and stuff like that. So not quite full time for me, especially from the career I previously left where I was working typically 60 hours a week. So it's definitely a lot more manageable, a lot more flexible. And when I get my tasks completed, and then my sisters actually run the center.
Oh, that is incredible too. You know, just it's nice to have the family aspect too. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's been interesting to work with them. And then my mom actually volunteers 3 days a week as well.
Ah, that's fun.
Yeah.
I like that. That's really cool. So what is one thing you wish people would know that, what is one thing you wish people knew more about your business?
I think it's been an interesting journey because adult daycare has not been something that is that well known or researched. And so a lot of it is just educating people in regards to their caregiving journey. Some people that come to us are already extremely exhausted from a very long road that they've been on caregiving on their own at home with their loved one. And so, you know, for them, it's a no-brainer, right? They basically know they need the respite. For some people, their loved one might be just recently a little bit more homebound or just recently diagnosed with some sort of dementia. So Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, all of that. And they're not quite ready because they don't believe that, you know, they need to be that that contained, I guess, is what I would say in terms of restricted in regards to their day, which we're not, we don't ever push anything on anyone. We want to be here when people need us. But there are some studies in regards to the advantages of keeping engaged in community and social activities, even if you're early on in your journey. It helps, you know, with neurostimulation. It helps with physical activity. We have, you know, our facility is 15,000 square feet, so people can, we walk between different, we call them storefronts. So we've got different rooms for different types of activities. We've got a diner, a movie theater, a health club, a craft corner. So there's a lot of movement, even physically within the center, that people can engage in during the day.
That's a really interesting concept. I enjoy that because it's like keeping their minds active and keeping them feeling as normal as possible, or as like they're in a community.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also have a full-time nurse on staff. It's part of the care that we provide, is making sure that everybody's safe and that we're monitoring their vitals and keeping track of, you know, how they are physically and also emotionally and mentally too.
Definitely. This leads me right into some questions about marketing, because it sounds like such a great business that people need to know about. And so I'd love to learn about your different marketing strategies. And I'm always curious to, you know, what successful businesses are doing. So what percentage of your monthly sales typically would you say you invest back into your marketing budget?
Right now, it's probably a sizable amount. I've never looked at it from a percentage perspective. It's probably about 10% at the moment, which is a reasonable amount. And I think it's pretty sustainable as we grow. What we started off with was understanding our target audience, right? Who's really going to be the most interested in this type of business or our services. And we looked at it from the sandwich generation. So typically a woman in or man in their late 30s, early 40s, where they've got children at home and starting to care for their parents, either remotely or nearby. Mm-hmm. And we looked at that audience and the way that we reach out to them at the, you know, at the moment, that seems that social media is probably one of the best avenues for reaching out to folks, because it's not as if they're always picking up, you know, a periodical and expecting to see something about adult care. So social media, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, anything like that, where the individual that we would think would be in this position to look for care. And then we also sponsor caregiving conferences and specific organizations like Alzheimer's Association and other organizations that serve the elder community as well as the caregivers to that community.
That's really, it sounds like you've done a ton of research behind that and just see like who your demographic is and who you're taking care of. So that's really incredible. I think that's so important for, especially for business owners to know and to that. That's like a really good nugget of advice you shared. So thank you for that. Kind of moving into tracking leads, like when you're thinking about your lead generations, do you have a CRM that you prefer to use?
So currently we have an in-home system that is provided to us by the franchise. And then we also use Constant Contact in regards to just keeping all the emails and being able to communicate specials or some of the other things that we provide to the community, such as support groups. So it keeps people engaged. Just as I mentioned before, some people aren't ready to have their loved one, you know, attend, so that we keep in touch with them by providing good content around the caregiving journey, and then also have support groups that we provide for free to the community as well. So some people will drop in, or someone will see it, and a blog, for example, that we email out that's specially curated for our audience, and they'll remember, oh, you know, I think that's a great option for me now, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. It sounds like you're very engaging and active with, you know, your clients, as well as like making sure you provide that support to them. That's really great.
Yeah.
And what is something, you know, kind of looking back, we've covered a lot with the marketing. I'd love to hear, looking back at your journey so far, what has been one of the most memorable roadblocks or hurdles that you were challenged with that you were able to overcome?
I think one of the roadblocks is that for the most part, this type of service is not, and a lot of services actually, when it comes to taking care of our elderly loved ones, aren't covered by insurance or Medicare or whatever. And so it's usually an out-of-pocket expense that they're not used to paying, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's a hurdle where people will come and say, well, you know, I think I want my loved one to come just half a day a week, which is not quite the model. I mean, we really want it to be a routine for people, and mm-hmm. someone coming for just a half day a week doesn't really help us cover, you know, the whole cost of doing business for that individual. So, you know, that's a big hurdle. But then once they start seeing, wow, you know, this really benefits me because I have more energy when my loved one comes home. And I know that they were in a safe place. So that's one of the hurdles, is just not used to having that out of pocket expense. Mm-hmm. But now we accept Veterans Administration, so VA and Medicaid. And at some point soon, Medicare is going to start covering these types of services as well.
Oh, that's really going to be a great step in that direction. It's going to offer it up to so many more people. That's really cool to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so what impact do you see with the growth of your business now, and where do you want to go from there?
Yeah, so we definitely have seen a growth in demand, which was our expectation to begin with. Once people understood that we were here and also what we provide, that they would realize what a great option it is. And that where we want to go, probably open one or two more in different locations within the greater Austin area to provide care, you know, a little bit closer to different pockets of the community.
That's really cool too. It'll serve so many people. So kind of switching gears a little bit, taking that and making it into a goal, what has been your best approach for goal setting, and how many goals do you like to set at a time? Do you document them? Like, what's the the time frame look like for your goal setting?
Yeah, so initially my goal setting was pretty broad in regards to my expectations. I had some monthly goals I wanted to hit. Those have been difficult to hit again with all the roadblocks that I mentioned previously. But I think we're on a good trajectory in regards to meeting some of my goals in regards to how many inquiries and leads we bring in through our different forms of advertising and support through the community. And then helping, get people to tour and then also enrolling. So those are some of our goals. Then we also are flexible in regards to, I've been looking to see what price points and offerings are, appealing to our members and their families. We're going to be having an external PTOT, speech therapy, so occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapist, come in because that's also something that can benefit our members, but also bring folks in that might not have considered us before. So those are the kinds of goals. It's just trying to, one, look at the numbers from a lead, tour, sign up perspective. Then it's about pricing and making sure it's something that makes sense for people. And then the third is additional offerings that would be appealing to folks so that, we're constantly innovating in regards to what we're providing our members.
Yes, I love the innovation that you brought that up. That is incredible to think about. And, thinking about the future of business as a whole, I'd love to talk on the topic of building a great team. As you work with your family too. How would you describe your leadership style in business?
I really try very hard to follow an old adage my dad mentioned to me before is that, people don't work for you, they work with you. What they're working for is their own personal, financial situation, their hopes, their dreams, what they want to provide to their children in the future. So I really try hard to come alongside and understand why people are wanting to work with us and hoping that we can. We offer great benefits as well as we try to have an environment where people are comfortable to research if they want to and learn more. We're constantly learning more about what it is to get caregive for this population, understanding the different ailments and diseases that they are encountering. But also at the same time, it's not like some of the competition or where else they would go because they get to be here just during normal business hours, basically. So there's no nights and weekends and no swing shifts. So that's the way that we build our team. We have monthly meetings, we have daily huddles, and we try to support each other. We mostly know how each other's jobs work. Obviously, not all of us are certified nurses, but in terms of being able to know who's responsible for certain tasks and also being somewhat trained in some of those tasks too.
Yes, speaking of the training, that was leads right into my next question, which is, what areas of training do you think people will need most in the next 6 months based on your current business climate and where your business is heading?
Yeah, so I have we do online and in-person type of trainings. One of the biggest goals we had was it's a multi-week course around dementia and Alzheimer's, which really provides us a great understanding of, what our members are going through and also how to best interact with them. We also ha I've done a couple of online trainings that I've assigned to my team to understand working better and communicating as a team, as well as understanding a little bit of the financial background. So if you can imagine, most of the people that I work with aren't necessarily looking at the business aspect or the financials, but I'd like them to somewhat understand, what it takes to run a business. So I've assigned courses around that, conflict management, things like that.
Well, this has been incredible diving into your business and how you're making your business run. We've covered so much ground. And for those who are watching, I highly encourage you to save this, come back a few times, listen again, because there's so many great nuggets that you've given us today. So as we're wrapping up, I'd love to ask you a few rapid fire, quick top of head answers to these questions.
Okay.
All right. So the number one is, what is the key to success for you?
The key to success for me is when I see a loved one, a caregiver's face at the end of the day, just feeling so happy that they had time to take care of themselves. So that to me is like a success I get to see on a pretty consistent basis.
Love that. What is one piece of advice for other business owners?
I would say definitely do your homework in regards to when whatever you're going to engage yourself in and focus on, what kind of resources are available to you, what's your background that helps you be successful in that endeavor, and then just ask a lot of questions of anyone you know that might be, you know, doing the same thing that you would like to do.
That's powerful too. So what is one book or piece of media, podcast, that you've either read or consumed that recently that you've taken in that you've enjoyed?
Well, I've read one book a while ago, and then I recently have picked it up again. It's called The Tipping Point. So basically, okay, how these different companies, they were struggling for so long, and then they finally came to a tipping point in regards to exponential success. And so that's always encouraging in regards to when you're in the midst of trying to build something and feeling discouraged, there's going to be a tipping point if it's a great service or product that people really do need, then there's a tipping point typically, and people start snowballing in regards to, wow, we really need that.
That sounds like a great book. I'm definitely putting that on my list for sure. So I have one more question in the rapid fires. If you had to choose only one area of your business you could immediately improve tomorrow, what would it be?
I think it would be in regards to the reach that we have in regards to our you know, marketing efforts. It seems to me that it's still not as efficient as it could be. Just trying to find the right audience. So that probably would be it.
That's very true. So those were the rapid fires. Before we get to our final question of the day, how can others learn more about your company? How can they get in contact with you? What is your social media?
Right. So again, it's Town Square NW Austin. You could see us on townsquare.net. We're the Austin, only one in Texas, like I mentioned before. We are on Facebook under the same name, as well as Instagram. And if you look us up in YouTube, we've got a ton of great videos in YouTube as well. And LinkedIn, it's the same thing. Town Square, two words, NW Austin.
Well, thank you so much for that, Emily. We're definitely going to send people your way. And my final question for you is, what is most inspiring for you today?
What's most inspiring for me today is I'm really seeing a lot of people that we bring joy to, even though they are in their different conditions, we're able to give them some joy each and every day.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Emily. This was a powerful conversation. Thank you for your time today on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.